Forces Radio.
This is Forces Radio.
Forces Radio. This is BFBS.
BFBS Original Music Specials.
Tony Hadley on My Own.
Little did I know when I was a 13-year-old teenager pinning posters to my wall of Wham, Duran Duran and Howard Jones that a good few years later I would be chatting to 80s icon Tony Hadley. Frontman to Spandau Ballet on and off for the best part of 30 years, Tony has now left the band and embarked on a solo career with a recent single and album. On chatting to Tony, there was definitely an elephant in the room on why, how he left the band, but he wasn't wanting to talk much about that, leaving it to fond memories and looking forward to being on his own. I used to bump into Tony at my local swimming baths as we took our children to the same lessons. We also have something else in common.
Forces Radio.
Tony Hadley on My Own.
BFBS.
Your birthday's the next day after mine.
Oh,
fellow Gemini.
First.
I'm the first, yeah.
I'm the second. My wife is the fourth, Ali. So my manager, or both my managers are Geminis as well. I've got mates of mine. My mate Bevo is born on the 2nd of June.
Now, because obviously you're working a lot at the moment because you've got the new single out, you're flying solo, you've got the new album out, and I mean, you've got to put a lot of work into launching all that, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, it's the first. I mean, I've been working on this album for so long, and then I went on tour. I went on tour with Spandau a couple of times. I've been on tour on my own. I mean, I've been solo for longer than I was ever in Spandau for. I mean, I've been solo since 1990, and we had a couple of reunion tours with Spandau, 2009, 2010, 2014, 2015, with the film Soul Boys of the Western World. So I've been solo for much, much longer than I was ever in Spandau for. But this is the first, like, completely original contemporary album that I've made for a long time.
And who wrote the songs then with you on your album?
We've written with, well, I've written with some of my band. I've written with Pete and Rick from Go West, my pals from there. I've written with Rob Davis, who was in Mud, who wrote for Kylie. And Doris Pearson, who was in Five Star. Mick Lister, my good friend. Who else? Loads of people. Blair McKennicky, who's written for, like, Paloma Faith and stuff like that. So there's, you know, I've taken a long time. Sometimes I write on my own, but I kind of like collaborating with other people. It just makes for a more interesting mix.
So a lot of those names that you were talking about in the 80s, is that how you got to know them? On the circuit?
Clip? Yeah, I mean, people like Pete and Rick. I mean, we're part of the same management company from Go West, and they've been friends of mine for years. You know, it's like the West is ABC, you know, Paul Young. We've all been mates for a long time, the Duran Is Culture Club. You know, you bump into each other over the years, and we're all still doing it and still having a good time.
I was going to talk about that you're still doing it so many years on, because obviously we all know you
like
from the 80s.
So many years
old. Sorry. But do you ever not think, oh, do you know what? I've done it now. Do you never sort of wake up and go, I can't bother today?
To be honest, I think there are some artists that generally get to the point where they're sick and death of, you know, being on the road, being on tour, sleeper buses, flying everywhere. The travelling, that's the one that wears you down a little bit. But when you get on stage, it's the best feeling. It is the most. And the monitors are good and you can hear yourself and the voice is good. It's a fantastic feeling and it's a hard one to beat. So you keep doing it. Also, I love being in the studio. I've loved the creative process of, you know, the writing and arranging. And, you know, I'm not stuck in the past. I listen to a lot of modern stuff. My daughter Zara is always saying, hey, Dad, check this. She's only 11, but she's, hey, Dad, check this out. And so, you know, it'd be the Chainsmokers, 21 Pilots. It could be Ariana Grande, it could be Shawn Mendes, the 1975, the Editors, you know, so always checking out new stuff and not living the past. So in terms of the sound of the album, it's very kind of modern.
Lately, everything's changed. We seem closer, like you care more. I feel the magic taking over out of nowhere. Somehow we found a spark. We light up the dark and bring out the stars, the sky's wide open now. Ooh, 'cause tonight belongs to us. 'Cause tonight belongs to us. I got a real good feeling. Oh, what a real good feeling. 'Cause tonight belongs to us. To us. To us. To us. Can't stop, out of control. Love is fiction, no prediction. Where this all will go, I can't call it, but I feel it. Somehow we found a spark. We light up the dark and bring out the stars. The sky's wide open now. Ooh. 'Cause tonight belongs to us. 'Cause tonight belongs to us. I got a real good feeling. Ooh, what a real good feeling. 'Cause tonight belongs to us. To us. To us. Everything's changed. Tonight belongs to us.
I was going to say, who do you like listening to then? I know your daughter's obviously influencing you, but well, who do you like?
Well, I like all those artists as well. I especially like bands like One Republic. I think they're a cracking band. Panic at the Disco. Love that kind of thing.
Oh, that's a bit different. I wouldn't put you down as that.
Oh, yeah, no, I love all that. Kaisers, big fan of the Kaisers. Ricky's a great guy. I love him. And the Killers, absolutely brilliant. Script. That's my kind of stuff. But then I listen to, Rita Ora. I'll check her out as well, you know. It's good to keep up to date with things and not just go, oh, I'm only going to listen to the stuff in the 80s. I don't do that.
Let it never be said.
Radio.
The FBS.
Tony Hadley on My Own.
Is it different being in the music industry now to when you were starting off?
Yeah, very. It's a lot harder, I think. It's very difficult. There's two elements here. Number one, the record companies as they used to exist don't work like that anymore. Most bands now, most artists record it and make it themselves, and they fund it themselves as well. And also, you know, if I go back to the past, I don't like going back retro all the time, but in the 80s, TV loved music. There were TV slots for music all the time, and so everybody got to know you. The longevity of a band was quite exceptional in those days, and so therefore, you know, the nans and granddads, your aunts and uncles, they all knew, you know, who the Spandy Boys were and who the Durrani Boys were and the Culture Club Boys, you know. So but that TV has now fallen out of love with music. Radio is now is the tops again, and that's what makes you kind of all powerful, I suppose.
It must be weird, I don't know, going to shows or being on TV programmes where you've got the likes of, I don't know, One Direction sat next to you, and you're like...
Nice blokes, actually. Really,
you know,
nice chaps.
You're sort of like, yeah, I've done it. You kind of just starting
no,
off.
No, you don't think like that. I think it's tough for young bands now. I mean, a band like One Direction... Wow, I mean, I felt for them because their fame was so high. It was number 10. Mm. And they would have been pulled from pillar to post. If I think I'm tired now, slapping it around and talking about myself, those guys were pulled all over the place. And literally, they were super, super famous in every country around the world. So even, you know, going down the road for a pint of milk or a pint in a pub would have been difficult for them. But really nice chaps. I mean, the other thing about music today is that there are no record shops anymore. I mean, the record shop's near the supermarkets, and my album's now being stocked in all the supermarkets, which is fantastic, and thank you very much. And, you know, Amazon and stuff like that, and HMV as well. They've taken all our vinyl, and we've got vinyl as well. But, you know, in the old days, there were record shops in every high street.
Yeah. So that was the place to go, wasn't it? To get your, get your singles and
You went to get your single. You saved
see where
up
you
your
were in the
money.
Chart. Yeah,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah. You know, there was so and then obviously there's Spotify, and you know you can't deny the technology. It's amazing. You can check out if I want to check out, I don't know, Bill Haley in the comments. I can do it in a nanosecond. So can my daughter. YouTube can check out anything now.
Yeah, it's so you've incredible. Got to look good as well, haven't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, nothing. I mean, not being funny, but years ago, you could kind of turn up to a radio station. You could look a bit scruffy. You've just rolled out of bed. There were no cameras. There was no media broadcast or anything like that. Everything you do now is recorded.
Yeah.
Scary. I think it's scary.
You need your HD makeup and everything.
Oh,
it's
no, horrible, no, you don't want to do HD. No, we don't do HD.
So true. Funny how it seems, always in time, but never in line for dreams. Head over heels, went toe to toe. This is the sound of my soul. This is the sound. I want a ticket to the world, but now.
Now, because you are such a legend, you know.
I call myself a legend.
A legend. So
legend, yeah.
What do people shout to you? Do they shout, you know, true?
No, the one they do is I get. I mean, the one really is the black cab driver in London, and you get, all right, Brito, gold! All right, son. Okay. All right, thanks a lot, mate. Cheers. It's a bit like that moment from EastEnders. All right, son. You know.
Yeah, and, you don't mind that, though, obviously.
No, I don't mind at all, because that's what you sign up for. I mean, you know, I was talking about some artists getting bored of being on the road and travelling, and there are some artists that get to the point they just cannot deal with the public, you know, the constant pictures. And, of course, now everyone's got a camera.
Yeah.
You know, oh, can I have a selfie?
Phone.
Yeah, selfie,
yeah.
Selfie, selfie, or whatever it is. And there's some artists that get to the point they cannot stand doing that anymore. Me, it's part of the job. We had a playback thing for all the fans yesterday, last night, and it was fantastic in Mayfair Mahikis. And I'm standing there for half an hour, you know, taking pictures and selfies and everything else, and signing things, and that's your job.
And talking of the fans then, have they been with you from the start? Do you recognise fans that have been there from the 80s?
Yes.
Do you? Oh, no!
Yeah, well, it's kind of weird, because a lot of them have been there since they were 14, 15, and they've grown up with Spanner, they've grown up with me, and now they're all kind of married and got their kids, and now their kids come along.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird. But also, because of what's happening on the kind of the Spotify YouTube thing, kids are going back, and my daughter Zara does it as well, and she'll go back and she will check out Led Zepp, and she'll check out Cream and Roxy Music and stuff like that. So kids can instantly go and check it out and what it looked like or what it sounded like back then. And then they go, wow, okay, yeah, this guy's pretty cool. This band's pretty cool. And then you see some of the kids.
And a new phase of fans.
Yeah, they come along to the concerts. And also, incredibly, they know the words. Know the words to everything.
Yeah, yeah.
So, listen, carry on. I'm happy.
Now, talking of your career, I mean, you must have had so many highlights over the years. What is your top three?
Well, the first one's got to be signing a record deal.
Yeah, when you finally
You know, because before we got to the point where we signed with Christmas Records, when I was 20, we were all 20. You know, we'd been banned since we were 16. We were at school together and stuff. And your dream, when you see your heroes on Top of the Pops, is to sign a record deal. It's one of the most amazing feelings. Yes! And then all of a sudden you think, right, better get the album together. So signing a record deal. Is it just three?
No, you can do more.
Okay, signing a record deal, having your first number one in your home country, true, in 1983. Live Aid, absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah.
And I played the Royal Albert Hall with a full orchestra year before last.
And that was a solo.
That's a solo thing. And that was kind of amazing. We did some of the new stuff from the new album. We also did some great classics as well, and some of the Spandau classics as well. And it just sounded, from a singer's point of view, wow, wow, wow. It was like amazing. Yeah, really brilliant.
Fantastic.
There's loads though. There's stacks, you know.
To know that I never should have let you go. Around the world, but I'm still a little crazy. I've been a fool in the past, and now you know that without you I've got nothing to show. Drive through the fire in the night, 'cause I need.
Tony Hadley on My Own BFBS.
Did you have professional training as a singer? Have you ever had professional training like that?
Yeah, I did. When I was younger, there was a Canadian opera singer called Pamela Dodds, and she was really lovely. She used to live just off the Essex Road in Islington. And, I mean, I don't think she's around now. She's quite old at the time. I'm going back to the sort of late 70s, early 80s. And I had 2 years of lessons with her. And a whole sort of premise was to teach you how to expand your voice, how to save your voice and everything else, but not to take your identity away. So she didn't want to sing, oh, yeah. You know, you don't want to be, you know, like...
And could you sing before you went to her?
Oh, yeah.
But you just
I was singing in choirs at school, and I sang at the Guildhall in London, and church and stuff like that. And I tell you what we used to do. We used to go to Pontins Holiday Camp, me and my mum and dad, brother and sister, and friends. And I finally plucked up enough courage to go into a show at Pontins. I think it was Bream Sands, I think so. And... anyway, forgot the words halfway through. It's been the bane of my life ever since.
What were you singing?
I was singing Lady Madonna. Madonna. And when he got to the bit, da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da, I completely forgot. Anyway, and so I did that, and it's always haunted me, that moment of forgetting words. And there have been moments when I forgot the word, like the second verse to Gold. It just went one day, you know. I was super cool when I went off stage, but I got the girl... signed a few autographs, and I had people say to me, well, what you sang, lad, was pretty damn good. So, and I kind of thought, well, okay, this sounds like good fun. So I used to do these competitions, and we used to win weekends away at Pontins.
Fantastic.
So that's how I started.
Yeah, and you hear about that, don't you, like being on Butlins?
Well, Shane Ritchie is a great mate of mine. And
he kind of started like that, didn't
he? Yeah, and Ian Royce, who's done CSE as well. We met in Kuwait, and we're still great pals.
Wow.
And so those guys started off as... they were red coat. We only went to Pontins, darling. We didn't go to Butlins.
Oh, sorry.
Yes. Like, we were dead posh in our family.
The competition.
So, but, I mean, God, Shane and Royce, they've got some stories. Wow.
I bet they have.
Yes.
We'll save them for another day.
Yes, not for broadcast quality.
How long did you do that for?
Well, we did it sort of whenever we were asked kind of thing. And we went to, we did Kuwait, we did the whole Bosnia, Kosovo, we did all that. We did Cyprus, Ascension Island, Falklands. Where else did we do? Oh, Northern Ireland was that was the dodgiest place we went to.
Oh, really?
Because the Troubles were meant to be over, and we met in the pub opposite the Europa Hotel, most bombed hotel in Europe, I think. And I remember we met with a couple of officers there and they said, look, you know, if anyone asks you where you're going to go, you know nothing. I know nothing.
Okay.
So anyway, but people did come. I said, oh, so where are you going there? Where are you going? I said, oh, I don't know. Some corporate show down the road. And we did get a few people questioned us quite heavily.
Wow.
I said, oh, I haven't got a clue. I just go where I'm taken, you know, and all that business. And we went down to the border and the troubles were meant to, were over, supposedly. And all of a sudden, trying to get into the base, you had to show our passports. There were great big chicanes with concrete chicanes. There was half the battalion were all locked and loaded, ready to go out on patrol. There was a helicopter gunship with a 50 caliber going out. And I said, well, what's kicked off? And he said, oh, no, for you to play here, we've got to send half the boys out. So I said, but I thought it's all meant to be peaceful and lovely. He said, well, last week, where you're playing, they lobbed a mortar. The rest of the base is bomb-proof, but where they lobbed the mortar is exactly where you're playing, and it's the only place that's not mortar-proof.
Oh, my goodness.
And it didn't explode.
Yeah.
Otherwise, we wouldn't have been playing there. So, that was probably...
One of
even, yeah, I mean, even more than Kosovo or Bosnia.
Are they different, the military audience, would you say?
Oh, wow, yeah. Listen, you got, you know... I don't know, 100 guys in the room or whatever, and you're singing, so true, funny how it seems, you know, or I'll fly for you, you know, or something like that. And they're all thinking, they're all like, you know, they're big guys and they're tough guys and stuff. And you say, like, guys, just get in touch with your feminine side, all right? Just get in touch with your feminine side, pretend you love me and we'll all be all right. So you do learn a bit banter-wise,
yeah,
you know, it's got to be like that. And, of course, when we went, we always used to go, a comedian, and that's how I met Royce and stuff. And Roy Walker's son went as well. He was brilliant.
Oh, right.
And we always used to have the dancing girls.
Yes, always.
Now, they weren't really interested in the music sometimes. They were much more interested in our lovely dancing girls. And when we used to get hosted afterwards, oh, wow. Sergeant Mess was always the messiest. It was like... And, of course, the girls were always good fun. They were great value, really was. And once we had a contortionist. Now, that was Bendy Wendy, we used to call her. That was a strange one. Sorry.
I didn't even know that we had those.
Yeah, no. We had dancing girls, Bendy Wendy, and a comedian, and us as well.
I think we need to revisit this.
Oh, I'll tell you what was brilliant. I think it was in Kosovo, hosted by the RAF. And, of course, you go into the RAF, bar or whatever, and tent it was at the time. And, of course, there's no rank at all. And it was one of the funniest nights. We were hosted there two nights on the trot. It was brilliant.
She says it must be youth that keeps us feeling strong. I see her in a face that's turned to ice, and when she smiles she shows the lines of sacrifice. And now I know what they're saying as our sun begins to fade. Sing in the music of the parade.
Plan to go solo?
If I can clarify a couple of things, band first split up in 1990. I didn't split the band. And then I went to on a solo career. After a lot of thinking, a lot of soul searching, I found myself, okay, let's try and get the band back together again. And in 2009, 2010, we had a reunion tour. Very successful. Brilliant. I then went back off being solo again for another 3-4 years. And then in 2014, 2015, we did a documentary about the band, which was a very extremely honest and brutal documentary. Quite tough. I can't watch it anymore, actually. But and then we went on tour again, promoted the film, went on tour. And I thought that was a kind of a nice arrangement. I'd do my stuff. Then we every now and again, we have a reunion. Mm. And it didn't really pan out. And I've never said the specific reason as to why I left. And I said yesterday to some people, I'm not going to, you know, do a cheap shot. It's not my style. So whether I ever reveal exactly why I left or not, I don't know. But if they wanted to get rid of the lead singer, they went about it in the right way. I tweeted Ross, their new lead singer, and I said, mate, you know, all the best. Good luck to you. And honestly, as you get older, you don't carry baggage as much as you did when you were younger. Probably when I was younger, I might have been more angry about it. But now it's, listen, I'm having a good time. I hope you guys have a good time as well. And listen, get on with your lives.
Forces Radio. Tony Hadley on my own. BFBS.
Thank you for coming home. Sorry that the chairs are all worn. I left them here, I could have sworn. These are my salad days, slowly being eaten away. Just another play for today. Oh, but I'm proud of you, proud of you. Nothing left to make me feel small. Luck has left me standing so tall. Always believe in, 'cause you are gold. Glad that you're bound to return. Something I
found the keys. Now he's in love with you. Love with you. Love is like a high prison wall. You can leave me standing so tall. Gold. Always believe in your soul. You've got the power to know you're indestructible.
Forces Radio.
BFBS.
Tony Hadley on My Own.
Just a quick question about your whole song pattern. What's your absolute favourite that you love that you've done? That you've made, you've created?
I choose the Spanner one.
Okay.
Because it's got to be Through the Barricades.
Oh, I love that. Absolutely love it.
It's Romeo and it's Juliet. It's the influence was Northern Ireland on that song. But that's, for me, it's just a beautiful song. I love it to bits. On the new album, wow. Kind of quite difficult on that one. I mean, one that's really... at the moment, I can't say what's a favourite because I'm loving all of them. But there is a song on there called Unwanted, which is a real kind of hard lyric. It's quite a sort of an emotional lyric. And we wanted to try and create a filmscape so it sounds like it could be on a Hollywood film or something. It's got beautiful strings on it and everything else. And the vocal is very, very honest.
It feels like the final hour when I look in your eyes. How did it get to this? 'Cause I can make you love me inside. I'm dying against my wishes. This all that's left. We don't talk. Watching our lives go by, we don't smile like we used to. We can lie here and pretend we are unwanted. This is you and me. We stand worlds apart, impossible to breathe. We are unwanted, looking at what should have been. There's only what will be. We are unwanted.
Radio.
The FBS.
Tony Hadley on My Own.
So the album is coming out, and how do you feel about it? Are you nervous? Or are you sort of, I mean,
terrified. Absolutely, honestly, because the thing is, I put my heart and soul into this. Mm. I put my money into this, and you know, between me and my management company, we've worked really hard on this, and it's been a real labour of love. And you just want a bit of feedback. You want a bit of people to come, yeah, you know, I checked your album out. Even if it's on Spotify, you know, I just if people like it, I'll be happy.
I'm sure they will, won't they?
Well, the reaction so far has been really good. The reaction Tonight Belongs to Us, which is the first single, has been fantastic. And the people that the powers that be are already saying, we think we've got another four or five singles on this album. So,
oh, great.
Well, I wanted to make an album that wasn't just two or three great ones and the rest are fillers. Every song we took a lot of time over. But we were talking about singles, and you don't actually physically, very rarely have a physical single anymore. It's just a download or a stream. So all the radio stations around the country just get, like, literally someone presses a button in wherever it is in London and it gets sent to
I don't understand
Timbuktu
it either.
And every, well, I'm useless. I mean, I try and do a bit of Twitter, right? I try and keep up with things and communicate with people. But generally speaking, I'm useless. Ask my missus, because she does computers. I'm useless.
Well, what is your Twitter handle? Do you actually know that?
Oh, I don't know. Let me have a look here. It says...
at number one?
It says, oh, at the Tony Hadley. There you go.
Oh, there you are.
At the Tony Hadley. And then I've got people who do Facebook and stuff like that, because I can't work Instagram.
No, I'm not very good with it either.
I can't figure that one out. Because, like, Twitter's really
simple.
That's
a generation thing, I think.
I think it is. I mean, I'm not very technical either. I can just about operate the washing machine. I'm not very good at that sort of stuff.
Now, what else have you had a go at? I know you've had a go at acting as well, haven't you?
Yeah, I did. Billy Flynn. I played Billy Flynn in Chicago in the West End.
Yeah.
I had no training whatsoever. I had to do an American accent, and I just thought, oh, I'll give it a go.
You enjoyed it?
Yeah, the first night was terrifying because I'd never learned dialogue before. Songs are easy; they're pretty. They come to me pretty easily. But learning all this dialogue, because when I went to see it, I went to see it with my mum and my wife Ali, and because they asked me, and I said yeah. I looked at it and I thought, that's a piece of cake, this. And then you get the script, and then you get the old yellow pen or whatever, and you start crossing out all the bits that are your dialogue, all the lines. And I went, hold it a minute, I didn't know there was this. I've got a monologue, I've got two monologues, I've got... And for 3 weeks, I was literally waking up at 4 or 5 in the morning, But the sense of achievement was amazing when we finally did it.
I bet it was brilliant, wasn't it? And haven't you been in a TV show as well? What was it I was reading?
Benidorm.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, Benidorm, I love Benidorm. It's like a version of Carry On film, isn't it? It's all
great,
innuendo and stuff. And I'm a big fan of the shows anyway, and I know Madness were in it and Bananarama. And I said to my pal Shane Ritchie, and I said, oh, I love that show. I said, they've never asked me. And I'm sure he had a word, because next minute I got the call, do I want to come and spend a week in Benidorm with all the cast?
Fantastic.
So I went over with my missus and my two youngest kids. We had a brilliant time.
Yeah.
And the cast were brilliant, because you're never quite sure how they're going to be, you know, because it can get very cliquey and you're coming as an outsider. They were brilliant.
Yeah.
Funny. I laughed and laughed and laughed and laughed. We were there for a week with my family and we had an amazing time. Really cool.
When you're not promoting the single, the album,
what am I doing?
What do you do as
right
a day
in the next
to
one.
Day? I mean, you know, you get up. Do you do the school run?
Well, I got five children, three big kids. They're all Tom, Tony, and Mac. They're all got their own lives, and I saw pretty much all of them last night. And my two youngest, so I'm doing school runs. You know, Monday's tennis, Tuesday's cricket.
Yeah,
it's like I'm doing the same as everybody else. And where I live, everybody knows me anyway. But there's none of this. You know, I'm not treated, you know, in any way, shape or form any differently from anyone else. I go in the pub and say, all right, lads, all right, how you doing? And, I just lead a really, really normal life. I mean, I suppose my hobby is music, really. I love music. But also, I try and keep fit. So a bit of running, bit of cross training. Love skiing. Love to ski. I could ski all year round.
Okay.
I would have been a ski bum if I hadn't been a musician.
And what do your kids think of you in the music industry? I suppose the older ones, it's just like it's always been there, hasn't it?
Well, the older ones, it's always been there, and they're really not remotely bothered.
Oh, really?
About what I do, yeah. I mean, I think they're proud, you know. They're proud of what I do. But they don't... They've never, ever done the whole kind of, do you know who my dad is and all that sort of stuff. In fact, if anything, they've tried to kind of, yeah, he just does a bit of this and a bit of that. Not because they're embarrassed, just because, you know, they've got their own lives to lead and they want to carve their own career. And my two little girls... No, completely not phased.
And how long do you think you're going to keep at it for then?
Well, I said today, Tony Bennett's, I think, 92. So...
You don't want to be rolling out of bed at 92.
Yeah,
though,
but he does it because he loves it. I mean, I saw him a couple of years ago. He's still amazing. Tom Jones. Tom Jones is, I think, 75, and Tom's still got a great voice. He looks great. I'm not remotely qualified to do anything else.
Certainly, you've got to carry
certainly
on
doing not
this.
DIY or anything like that. So I'm afraid it's going to have to be singing, and, you know, and my voice, you know, touch wood is still rocking. So you know, may it carry on.
Yeah, you don't have to have any more lessons. You can just pitch up now, can't you?
Well, yeah, I mean, you never stop learning, though.
Yeah.
You never stop learning. So I'll always read about it, or I always want to get better. And I think that's the thing. I never rest on my laurels. Never.
Brilliant. Well, it's been so lovely to talk to
Thank
you.
Thank you. And, no, it's good. It's nice to have a little chat.
Pop it in. And, you know, I'm sure that CSC would be delighted if you ever want to jump back on that bandwagon.
No, I'd love to. I mean, you know, you don't do it for the money, that's for sure. You know, you do it because it's the adventure. And, you know, I saw things and experienced things that most people would never get that opportunity, and it was brilliant. And you know, to go out to the Falklands. I mean, there's not that many people been to the Falklands, is there?
Did you see a penguin when you were there, by
the way? Oh, yeah, we went to Sea Lion Island.
Oh, yes, I've been there.
Which is amazing.
Yeah.
There's like the great big bull seals and everything, all the penguins.
You have to be careful of them, they can...
Well, I was standing next to one, and unbeknown to me, someone's filming it, and they went, wow, Tone's really brave, and he's standing right next to that bull seal. Do you know, I thought it was a rock. And then it moved.
Oh, yeah,
and then it moved.
Yeah.
Honestly, it's on film, and you've never seen me move.
I was going to say, I bet that was your running for the day.
That was. I didn't realise I'd been stupid. I go, wow, this is amazing. Look at that rock. Yeah, right. Okay, Tone. Bit stupid.
Oh, you have some great adventures, don't you? Oh, well, it's been brilliant to talk to you. Thank you so much. We wish you the best of luck as well
with
your single,
much. And
your album.
Yeah,
your gigs.
And also good. You know, listen, our people out there abroad doing our country a great service. They're incredible people. I've met an awful lot of them, and I've got a lot of family on who have been in the forces as well. So I take my hat off to them. Tough job.
BFBS, original music special on digital radio, FM and satellite TV in the UK.
Online and on air around the world.
This is Forces Radio.
Forces Radio.